How effective is companion planting, and does it work, Holly? This is a whole topic.
It's a whole topic, and from a scientific standpoint, where you see these charts on Pinterest or social media, and it's like, if you plant basil next to your tomatoes, they'll grow nice and strong. From that scientific standpoint, companion planting is not a thing.
Or if you plant this next to that, it will make that sweeter because this is planted next to that.
Right. Yep. And, so for example, I don't know if people know this anymore or not, but one of the oldest things, companion planting myths, I guess, is with three sisters. So three sisters is when you plant corn, beans, like,
Pole beans
and squash together. And you do this because the scientific part of it was supposedly the beans were feeding nitrogen into the soil to feed the corn. And that is not true.
The corn is such a heavy feeder of nitrogen and other nutrients in the soil that the beans could never utilize or provide enough nitrogen for said corn. What the corn is doing for the beans is creating a place for the beans to grow up.
But yes, that's true, and that is a method of companion planting.
Intercropping too.
Intercropping, yep, and that's like the new companion planting.
And the squash, whether it's vine or like zucchini or whatever, is grown around the corn in order to shade the ground to reduce soil evaporation. So they're all benefiting one another, but there's no the theory has gotten all discombobulated over the years that this is what it's doing and this is the great way to doing it. And corn, you got to grow in a block to order for it to pollinate correctly. Now, we've never done the three sisters. Well, we did it once and it wasn't that successful. But you want to make sure the corn can pollinate, and corn can pollinate up to, I think it's 1,000 feet.
You know, we didn't plant the three seeds in one hole. Maybe
correct.
That's where we went wrong.
Well, yeah, but that's what they want. The Native Americans, this is where this come from. The Native Americans dug a hole, put a fish in there, filled it with the seeds, and let it grow, and everything was magical in history.
I mean, we don't know. Corn has changed so much.
Corn used to be a grass back in medieval times, and we've altered it to the point where it doesn't exist in nature.
Engineered it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not genetic modification. It's just how it's changed. But
yes.
So we don't know what kind of corn / bean / squash they were growing. I'm assuming the squash is probably the same squash we all have now to this day. But as far as the corn and the beans, we don't know. But it's just funny because, like, my friend was at a gardening help thing for their HOA, and whoever was in charge of it told them to put a whole egg into the soil when they planted the tomato.
Right.
A whole egg.
For not break it up.
Not break it up. Just put the whole egg.
Well, the calcium in which is in an egg, yes, there's calcium. And yes, if broke down, it will feed the soil. But it takes up to 18 months to do that, even if you crush it up in your hand, not even just putting the egg under the tomato.
Right. No, this was a whole egg.
Yeah.
I think that cells might start to stink in the next couple of
days.
Well,
it's not going to benefit anything.
No, it's not. But anyway, okay. So
that's a garden myth for another day.
Back to sister crops, or back to companion planting.
Yes.
So there are sister crops, which we touched on, as you had called, it's called intercropping, is the official term. But that might confuse people. So sister crops is basically things like planting radishes next to tomatoes. If you are planting the tomatoes next to the radishes, because the radishes will be done by the time the tomatoes are grown.
Planting a very quick growing crop in amongst slower growing crops. You plant your radishes. You know where the radishes are at. You plant your tomatoes in between the radish rows. You leave a wide enough space in order to plant your tomatoes, and then you harvest the tomatoes, and then you have a walking path to harvest your radishes. Then you have a walking path to harvest your tomatoes when the time comes. So, and companion planting, there is a scientific proof of we plant one plant next to another plant in order to help that. Example, you plant radishes next to spinach, so the leaf miners, if you have an infestation of leaf miners, which creates cavities or tunnels between the layers of leaf, and that's the white dead areas in the leaf. You plant your radishes next to your spinach, so the leaf miners attack the radish leaves, but not the spinach leaves, and both plants are able to be harvested for the purpose of the intended reason of growing them, the leafy greens for the spinach, the bulb for the radishes.
Right. So that is the... I guess the companion planting.
Also, it can be a trap plant. Trap plant. That's another term here.
Yeah. So the trap plant is also known as a decoy plant, a sacrificial plant. They have a few different names. But again, with the leaf miners, it's to distract the leaf miners away from the spinach. For that example.
Another example would be you plant rosemary or basil around your zucchini plant. To diffuse and confuse the squash vine borer.
Okay.
Moth.
So people also do that for the slugs because okay. They like the rosemary, I think. Okay. If I remember correctly. And caterpillars sometimes too, they like the rosemary. They like the stocky plants. So okay. Another one is chervil. Slugs like chervil. So if you put near a lettuce crop, they won't get to your lettuce. And then
okay.
Another, so we have more examples, but sometimes you'll get your own trap plant that just happens from a plant that you didn't mean to be a trap plant or a sacrificial plant, whatever you want to call it. Like that one year we had those aphids. What was that?
Giant lamb's quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a edible plant that Native Americans would use as a substitute for spinach. At least that's what the story has been told. But the aphids attacked the tall lamb's quarter, which was not removed because we just never got to it, so we left it alone, and they attacked that instead of the other plants in which we were growing to harvest. So you want to maybe leave a few weeds in the garden and make sure they don't go to seed and cut the seed head off, but that would be a way of deterring or attracting insects. There should be a good balance. We talked to Doug Oster a couple of weeks ago about the balance of good and bad bugs in the garden. If you missed that, you can send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com or go to our parent website, the wisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and search for the season 7 tab and find it there. So there are things, there are plants that we have from a horticultural standpoint have found that if we plant plant A next to plant C, they both can be harvested for their intended purposes, but they both are benefiting each other by luring something away from one or preventing the attack of something on both of them.
Right. So that's essentially what the trap plant, sacrificial plant is. And I guess the biggest thing is that if you see a chart online or whatever, if it makes sense, do it. If it makes sense for you, sometimes
don't just look at one.
Don't just look at one. But sometimes you might think, okay, if I do this, it's really going to be out of my way. This is going to be an extra step, and I just don't know if I have the time or patience or whatever to do it. Then don't do it. I mean, if you have the time to figure that all out, plan your garden. Do the sacrificial plants, do the intercropping, whatever you should. But if you're like, you know what, if I've done it this way, I've not even put any thought into this, and it's effective, it's what I have time for, then do that too.
Well, the problem is you can look at companion planting charts online, and you can look at 37 of them, and there's 33 that's different. And they're all different combinations. And by a scientific standpoint, some of the combinations do not... 4 + 4 doesn't always equal 8, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But you know what does make sense? What always equals 8? Walton's Incorporated and what they have available for all of us in our kitchens and if you are a butcher.
I think that they are definitely, they make a lot of sense. So we are brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. You can and preserve it. At Walton's Inc., you can get all the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way. You can also go to meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. There are over 15,000 users to help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. and they just have decades of experience in meat processing industry, and they want you to have that experience or have that
trusted source.
Yep. And they have everything but the meat. They have all sorts of seasoning, meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to go from animal to edible. Walton's everything but the meat. If you use code GROW50, you save 10% off your orders of $50 or more at waltonsinc.com.
Change your backyard barbecue and impress people with the seasonings and tools that they have.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.